Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome to The Kitchen Table. My name is Jake.
And I'm Brian.
And we're glad to have you back for another episode of The Kitchen Table. If you're new to us here, I want to explain why we started this. So Dad and I, when I was a kid, Dad always encouraged me to ask hard questions, ask very spiritual driven, just tough questions that the church doesn't really talk about sometimes. And Dad's always been, I think my favorite saying that he always told me was, my first mission field is my kids. And so we wanted to do that and encourage you guys to do that. And we put it in a podcast form because Dad and I are very creative, content-driven media people. And we're now over two years now. How we run the show, we started off with a faith discussion. And that takes about the first 20 to 30 minutes. And then we move into a segment called Music Matters. And it's simply put, we think music matters. Dad works in radio. I'm a musician my whole life. We just like talking about music. So Dad brings a new song. I bring a song of the week. And Dad brings it from the time vault and brings out his oldie but goldie.
That's right.
Because he's old.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then we move into a segment called Culture Shock.
Culture Shock, we just find someone who's out there living life for the kingdom, making a difference. It could be a famous person, a celebrity, a sports figure, or it can be your average
Joe Schmo.
So we got that coming up in Culture Shock a little bit later today. Our topic today, what does worship look like? We've talked about worship on the program before.
We've had a couple episodes.
But we want to dive into this conversation because worship, many people simply think that worship is music.
I think we're getting away from that, though.
Well, yeah, it's taken a while. Yeah, it's taken a lot of education.
But sure. I think as someone who has been in worship music ministry my entire teenage years, it's an interesting thing because, you know, worship is in everything that we do. What's the verse in the Bible that says, in everything you do, worship God. You know, that kind of sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the pinpoint is that in the Bible. But I think it's been a weird twist for me because, you know, as I grown up, especially in my high school, I've heard worship isn't just music. You know, mm-hmm. The word worship is bigger than the worship part of the service.
Yes.
You know, I think worship kind of got this one narrowed down segment of, oh, worship is music. And then we have the sermon and then we have prayer and then we have, you know, I had to do a mind switch in the fact of, sure. Oh, worship isn't music. I'm not playing. I am playing worship music.
I think because of the label, people get confused.
Yeah, I think that's the problem that we had.
I want to define first worship to try to get an understanding. We're going to go back to Scripture and to the original Greek word in Scripture. Yep. It can be found in Romans 12:1. And the word in Greek is latreia. And latreia literally means the service and worship of God, which I thought was interesting because service is tied in mm-hmm. to worship. Christian worship is the act from the heart of ministering or showing God how much he is valued and adored. We must remember that an expression of worship is centered towards God and for God. It's not just singing about God, which we do. It's singing to God. It's not just clapping about God, dancing about God, bowing about God. It's clapping, dancing, bowing, whatever other form of worship you use, to and towards God. It is God-focused. It is God-centered.
No.
So from there, we look at what does worship look like? It's only natural for all to worship whether you think so or not. It shows reverence and adoration to something or someone in some way. So the world out there, they worship all kinds of things.
No.
Idols of all sorts, whether it's money, sex, power, or any other possession they might have.
The Chicago Cubs.
Whatever is top on their list becomes their idol, and that's what you worship. Many people in their life, their job becomes what's number one. Worshiping and focusing on things of this world doesn't lead us to where we need to be. It always leaves us wanting something more. You see, people try to fill the gap that's in their life with whatever that is, career, relationship, possessions, and it's never enough. Worship should be saved for the only one deserving our reverence and adoration. Our Heavenly Father is not just any other idol. He is the creator of all things that exist. In Deuteronomy 6:4, the Israelites were instructed, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So Sunday worship in church, yes, it's a critical part of my life. But it's foolish to think that we leave God at the door of the church when we depart into the world. There is spiritual darkness everywhere, whether we see it or not. Jesus is the light of the world. He shines brightly in everyday life, and we have to trust he will become our guiding light as well. So worship cannot be limited to a church building. And I think, especially during COVID, we have realized, since we, many of us, have been worshiping from home, watching a screen being streamed, that worship does take place anywhere. And then also, if you're not watching it live, because typically, oh, well, church is Sunday at 10 o'clock or whatever, they think it's a specific time, and that's not the case either.
COVID has really impacted how worship looks. There's a lot of servanthood that's had to be taken place. I mean, Dad and I have been very heavily involved with the media side of our church, and so that became a lot of servanthood and a lot of time. But I think it's also hard because you have the people that are Sunday school teachers. You have the people who are greeters at the door,
right,
or they serve the coffee at the coffee bar. And so it's like some people need to step up and some people step kind of down.
Well, they don't have that opportunity. And that's what kind of frustrated many people through the months of April, May, June, is the fact that the Christian life is all about a light of compassion and service. And yet we were isolated and in quarantine, and we couldn't serve others, and we were figuring out ways to do that.
But I also think it brought a lot of creativity. You know, we saw the church that like made masks, and they made like backpacks and need packs. It's weird because some people had to step down, but maybe some people stepped up with creativity. You know, it's just like a not a win-lose situation, kind of like a...
Well, a lot of churches had to look at themselves and, and ask hard questions like, okay, we can't do this. What can we do now?
Yeah.
Or what did we do then that makes no sense now? Or what are we doing now that makes sense that we need to continue post-COVID because this is important? And so I think a lot of churches are looking, especially because a lot of churches weren't streaming online yet.
Yeah.
And they were forced to. Honestly, they need to keep doing it. Now, is digital church going to replace church? No. But for someone who doesn't have the physical church, someone who's a shut-in, not able to get out, or someone who lives in an area where they don't have a church they feel comfortable in, that is a great option for them, an international option. I was talking to a pastor a couple weeks ago, and there is a smaller church in Wales, in England, that is not meeting because of COVID, but they don't have the technology because they're a small church. And so they are literally gathering in some homes, social distancing, and watching this church from Indiana every Sunday afternoon for them because of the time change. And so they've become a part of that congregation. Now, will they go back to church when they're able to meet again in the building? Sure they will.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they're able to join in. So you can see how it is attracting people, giving them options that weren't there before.
Yeah.
Changing the way we're thinking. So what are some ways to worship God? We've mentioned, of course, music, but we know it's way more than music. What are some other ways of worshiping God?
The gifts and talents that God has given us is an act of worship. Dad, you're great with radio. You're great with your voice. Your voice is an act of worship. When you preach, I mean, growing up, I always watched you preach. And even though I knew your words memorized by heart because I heard it every day, your words still spoke to people. I'm music driven, so that... But also I'm very media driven, and because of COVID, I've learned how to use video editing as an act of worship and servanthood. So I think it's just in a lot of different things in the gifts and talents that God has given us, that's an act of worship for me.
And we go back to the beginning thing where we were talking about the definition of what is worship and how that Greek word is tied to service as well.
Service.
Worship, Christian worship, is honestly one of the most important spiritual disciplines in the Christian life. And if you don't like worship, whatever that looks like to you, then you're not really going to enjoy heaven.
Yeah.
Because worship is the one thing we know for sure we're going to be doing in heaven. In Revelation 4, 9 through 11, it talks about we'll spend the first 10,000 years, whatever time frame that is. Yeah. Let's face it, earth time, heaven time, who knows what that is. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping for 10,000 years. So it's not just something that we do singing-wise to warm up to the preaching.
Yeah.
It's not getting ready for the preaching we sing and then the pastor comes out. Singing is just one way to worship God. It's the most common form of Christian worship, and the Bible tells us to sing in our worship. In Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. God is not interested in whether you're a great singer or not. I've known people that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. They still worship God by singing.
Yeah.
And they feel it in their heart, even though they're tone deaf. Some people just don't have the ability, but still, they do it. My wife, her uncle Eddie. Eddie was born with Down syndrome, and Jake, you only knew him really as a kid.
I was like, I never really, I don't remember him.
Remember him, right. Yeah. My wife's family was not in the church, and Eddie grew up building things out of cardboard for fun.
Yeah.
He was born in a time where most people that had a child with Down syndrome, they just put them in a hospital and forgot about them. Unfortunately, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
My wife's grandmother could not do that. So she had Eddie at home and she raised Eddie at home. And he was the oldest of the four kids. And he would build things in the basement out of cardboard boxes. That was his entertainment.
Really?
He would build like Frankenstein's monster. When my wife's aunt became a Christian and then led the rest of her family to Christ, Eddie also accepted Christ, and they saw a drastic difference in his life. And you were thinking, well, he's got Down syndrome. How does he comprehend this? He's got the mind of a five-year-old. He always had the mind of a five-year-old.
Yeah.
There was a difference in his life because he stopped building Frankenstein's laboratory in the basement, yeah, and he started building Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
And all the Bible stories he was learning, he started to build those out of cardboard. And even in church, even though he didn't know all the words, he would still try to sing. He would still raise his hand in praise, even with the mind of a five-year-old. So it doesn't matter whether or not we're a great singer. God wants to know that you are expressing the melody that has been given to you in your heart by him. We talked about him raising his hands. He'd raise his hands in worship. That's actually a part of scripture as well. That is another form of worship in 1 Timothy 2:8. Men and women in the church, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So it actually says that in scripture, lifting up holy hands. It is an act of surrender when you do that.
Yeah.
Many people think that raising up hands in worship is a modern thing, and it's not traditional Christian worship. Worship in its truest form is singing a prayer to God. The early church regularly practiced the raising of hands in prayer and worship. This is not a new development with contemporary worship that we have today. Another form of worship from Scripture is bowing down. In Psalm 95:6, it says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Again, that is another form of surrendering to God, raising your hands, surrendering, bowing down in respect and surrendering. It's probably one of the least used yet most sincere forms of worship today. Whether you're flat on your face or whether you're on your knees, bowing down is a sign of surrender and reverence. It is also the form of worship our flesh and pride resist the most. Rarely do you see people in church actually engaging in this form of worship. However, it's a very legitimate form of Christian worship. It takes great humility not to care about what others are thinking and just humble yourself before the Lord. Worship is the feeling or expression of adoring God. We use the word worship to talk about the music portion of a church service, but in reality, it's so much more than that. So what are ways that we can worship God in real life today?
I'm a very life applicant person. I love when a sermon is biblical based, but also isn't just like, here's what the Bible said, nothing else.
Right.
I love when the Bible, here's what the Bible says, and
this is
how we do it today. Yeah. And I think one of the awesome things is that we can serve with anything that we have. You know, it might be the smallest thing. I was told at a very young age that I could serve God in any way that I wanted to. I was a five-year-old who was a missionary kid, and I saw my parents serving in every capacity, in media, in ministry, in just everything. And so I'm a five-year-old who's like, oh yeah, here, this is how you walk. I remember, I told the story before, but I remember we were at a camp one time, and I'm a six-year-old trying to like minister to this like 16-year-old who's smoking. And I didn't give the best advice, but...
You gave five-year-old advice.
I gave five-year-old advice. I think I told her like, have your mom put your cigarettes on the top of the shelf because then she won't reach them. And I was like, but I mean, still, like, God has given us the opportunity and gifts to be able to serve him through that in any way that you can. If you play sports, sweet. Use that skill.
Yeah.
And you can have a platform. Like, say you're like Tim Tebow. We know that Tim Tebow is not in the NFL anymore, but because he's played NFL and MLB, he has this platform now and he's got books. He does speaking events.
Mm-hmm.
Take every opportunity that you can to just be open and honest about the Lord, because that is our mission as Christians on this earth, is to share the love of Jesus Christ to everyone.
So worshiping in real life today, we've got to remember this. Number one, worship is all about God. It's so much more than just a singing on Sunday morning, as I mentioned before. It's a spirit of focusing on the goodness of God each and every day and responding to his call. Also, worship is active. I heard someone say that worship is complete abandon, forgetting self, letting God work through me in whatever way he sees fit. It may look different each day, but it will always involve being obedient in an area that I've not been before. Another thing about worshiping real life, and scripture talks about this, worship at all times. Psalm 42:11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. It's not just meant to be at the good times. It's easy to worship at the good times. God wants our praise even when times are hard and things aren't going our way. Worship can occur anywhere. We've talked about this. I will give a little warning here. Worshiping in the car, especially to music and raising hands while driving, not a good idea.
Yeah, that's a little.
But it can happen anywhere. Jesus brings up the idea of worship in John 4, and he's talking to the woman at the well. And the Samaritan woman got into a discussion with Jesus about which temple was the best place to worship. This is what Jesus said to her. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. You see, once Jesus came, he broke all the barriers. There was no longer the central place of worship. Jesus provided equal access to God through his sacrifice. Before Jesus, that's what it was. There was a temple, and they would come at certain times of the year. They would make sacrifices. And then there was this priest, and he was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies and basically take our sin in there. Well, guess what? Jesus came in, ripped the veil, opened it up. Worship now, literally, because of Jesus, can happen anywhere because worship has become more about internal rather than the external, and the internal can occur anywhere. Worship is both matter of the head and matter of the heart. So John 4:2, focus on truth, the truth part of that. Our worship must be grounded in the truth of Jesus. We must have head knowledge of Jesus. But then it talks about spirit in John 4:2. It says our emphasis on spirit, Jesus talked about in that verse as well. When we worship in spirit, we are worshiping with our whole heart. There must be a passion for God. So it's a balance. It's a matter of the head and a matter of the heart. Worship through prayer. Many people don't think about that, but prayer puts us in communion with God. Some of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible are found in Psalms, which is a book of hymns. We can worship by saying this prayer back to God. Have you ever prayed the Psalms back to God? Again, another way, worship through service. And we've talked about this in that beginning, that Greek word of worship being tied to not only worshiping God, but service to God. We worship God by serving others. Being the hands and feet of Jesus is a privilege that God gives us. And when we are serving those around us, we honor and worship God. We worship God through our giving. Giving financially to our local church allows us to literally put our money where our mouth is.
Yeah.
You've heard that expression before. When we give, we show thanks to God's provision. Everything we have comes from God. So the act of tithing is worship. Our actions match our hearts to the matter. Now, this one might sound strange, but worship through living. Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way we worship him. God wants our surrender. God wants us in a right relationship with him. Because of Jesus, we can worship God anywhere, anytime, with our mind, body, and spirit. So worship is way beyond just singing on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Worship is such a weird thing. Worshiping worldly things. One of the best things I've heard was go to a football arena.
Yeah.
Go to a baseball stadium. And
not right now because they're empty.
Well, not pre-COVID. You know, last year. Go to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
For example, you see these people
screaming
at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
So excited, cheering on their team. That is worship. And
yeah.
and it might not be the heart thing, you know, like, and I struggle with this on my own, but why can't we do that for God? And it's hard because, you know, Christians, especially today, kind of get persecuted. And just being a Christian, as a community of Christ followers, it's so important for us to band together and worship in our own ways because it's so important. So use your gifts, use your talents, be amazing. When you're amazing and doing and everything that you're doing, that's God through you. My athletic director, Coach Brown, he's not the athletic director at my high school, but I love this man. He told me once, if you don't put 100% into what you're doing and you only put 50, if someone knows that you go to church and they see you're putting 50% in, they think, oh, wow, Christians really are just slobby, slack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you put 100% in and they know you go to the church, they're like, oh, wow, Christians really know how to work. And so I've always taken that as a challenge of put 110% in. Always go the extra mile, because that's what God did. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile.
Right. I will always tell people, especially people that work with me, God doesn't demand perfection. He wants us to be like Jesus, who is perfect. He knows we're human. He wants us to continue to strive towards being like Jesus. He doesn't demand perfection, but he desires excellence, even in our worship. I want to close this out with a thought from John Piper. It says, the inner essence of worship is to know God truly and then respond from the heart to that knowledge by valuing God, treasuring God, prizing God, enjoying God, being satisfied with God above all earthly things. And then that deep, restful, soulful satisfaction in God overflows in demonstrable acts of praise from the lips and demonstrates acts of love in serving others for the sake of Christ. That is the true inner essence of worship. Mm. And that's our faith conversation.
And now moving into Music Matters.
Music Matters is a part of the program where we bring music. We love to celebrate music, the generational differences of music, and we like to bring different stuff each week, you know? I have a new one, and it's actually, have you heard the whole album?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so you've heard the song.
Yeah, I was going to do the song last week, but it was one of his songs 2 weeks ago, so you wouldn't let me do it again.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got one this week from him. You were going to do this exact song?
No, I was going to do, so he pre-released
two songs. Talking about Corey Asbury, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So I used Corey Asbury's, I used one of his songs.
You did.
And then I was going to use the song last week. You're like, well, you already used a Corey Asbury song. So I'm kind of mad that you could have used a Corey Asbury song.
This one, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, I was going to use the other one because he pre-released two. He released the one that you're going to do and then the one that I wanted to do.
Okay. Well, this is new from Corey Asbury. Corey Asbury, of course, worship leader, Grand Rapids, Michigan area, and huge song a few years ago called Reckless Love. So this new one is called Sparrows. Now, the analogy of sparrows, I call sparrows flying mice. Just like I call pigeons flying rats. Mm-hmm. Just like I call squirrels tree rats. Because they're kind of worthless animals. They're kind of dirty and worthless and like mice. Well, sparrows are everywhere. But in scripture, it talks about this. I think it's Matthew 6, especially that the verses about worry. That the sparrow, God cares about the sparrow, which is considered like the lowest of the low of birds.
Yeah.
God cares about the sparrows. And so this is the kind of like the focus of that song of worthiness and how God cares for the least.
Yeah.
So it's Corey Asbury's song. It's called Sparrows.
You take good care of me. You take good care of me. You know what I need before I even ask a thing.
What's your song?
So, my song for the week.
You brought a rocker this week.
I did. My buddy Evan and roommate, he sent me this song. I love worship music. I mean, it's basically what I do. I work technically for it. He sent me Lion and the Lamb. And so I was like, it just must be like a different version.
Big Daddy Weave.
Yeah, yeah. Lion and the Lamb, you know, something. And I listened to it, and it's a metal song.
Is it metal?
Yeah. Well, it's like rock. It's rock. It's hard rock. Hard rock.
There okay.
But 7 Day Slumber did a cover of Lion and the Lamb.
Rock version, huh?
A rock version. Yeah. And I actually really digged it. So here is 7 Day Slumber, Lion and the Lamb. Let's get that in church.
Hey, definitely unique version from 7 Day Slumber, Lion and the Lamb. Time now to go back in time. It's our oldie but goldie. You know, it's weird to go back in time for an oldie but goldie and still be in the 2000s.
So I was alive.
You were alive. But I went back to 2003 because it was 17 years ago.
I'm old.
Yeah, whatever. So 2003.
I'm not 50, but.
Number one song in 2003, and this was a big hit for them. You know it.
Okay.
Mercy Me.
Okay, another band.
See, this is what happened. I was in radio, and then in 2001, we went to South America as missionaries. And so I missed the launch of Mercy Me.
Yeah.
I was away for 10 years and they became huge. And so when I came back, there was this huge band and I'm like, oh, who are these guys? But this is one of the major hits they had from 2003. It's a number one song of the year.
I can only imagine.
Oh. Nope, it's not that song. This one is Word of God Speak.
Word of God Speak. Would you pour down like rain? Washing my eyes to see your majesty.
That was a good one. That was a banger.
A banger?
A banger.
Hang on, you got bop.
A bop.
That one slaps.
Slaps.
And now and you got a banger. Banger. Oh, man.
A banger.
I got to start writing these down in
a book.
It's
a good one.
Okay. Well, that wraps up Music Matters. Now time to move into Culture Shock. Today in Culture Shock. Culture Shock, yeah, we celebrate someone making a difference. Today, guess what we have? We have an average
Joe.
That just sounds horrible. This is pastor named Chad.
Is it the Pastor Chad I know?
No, probably not the Pastor Chad you know. Man. Pastor Chad is from Navasota, Texas.
Nope, I don't know Pastor Chad from Texas.
Yeah. Easy for you to say. He is the pastor of First Baptist Church there, also known as Barbecue Baptist Church.
I can get down with that.
Yeah. Apparently, when COVID hit, they had to think outside the box.
Yeah.
So what they did is they built sort of like, you remember the Pope Mobile?
Like a little car with like a little
the bubble. Plexiglass bubble.
Yeah.
So they built like this plexiglass thing up and they were launching with like a hot like dog a launcher, t-shirt cannon, whatever. They were launching rolls of toilet paper down the streets. People needed toilet paper, right? Yeah. So what's the need? They need toilet paper. So he's launching
them. Can I have that job?
Yeah, that's a cool
that
job.
That sounds like fun.
It went so well, they added a pulpit and a sound system and a piano, and they had pop-up worship while flinging toilet paper at people. So he joked about adding a barbecue pit to this as well.
Like a mobile barbecue pit.
Yeah, and that's how Barbecue Baptist Church was born.
Wow.
So Barbecue Baptist Church is an outreach of their church. It aims to bring a warm meal, a little levity, and a reminder that people care to the community and beyond. So that's the church awesome. Borrowed this catering trailer from a member, made an announcement on the local news. Anyone is invited to come. They will come to your house. They will do short worship service, and they're going to give you free barbecue.
Can they come to Illinois?
That's what I was thinking. He said people are staying in their homes, churches weren't meeting, and it was a real need that people had. So for the first 5 weeks, the Barbecue Baptist Church traveled around the county serving four meals a day, 4 days a week.
Wow.
And sometimes it would find a group of 20 or more people, or sometimes they just find one single lady sitting on her porch. Last month, the outreach decided they're going to take this on the road. So they left their town in Texas. They went to Nashville.
And next, they're coming to Chicago.
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully. But they were visiting first responders and medical professionals in six different states in the South in 7 days. And that trip, they smoked 800 to 1,000 pounds of pork.
My word.
Yeah. Central Texas-style barbecue. Ooh, that's good stuff.
Can they come to Illinois?
I know. But along with the barbecue, he said he's been sharing the message of hope based on the passage from the book of Romans about suffering producing perseverance, and perseverance, character, character, hope. It's just been amazing to see, thinking outside the box, what can you do, creating something like the Barbecue Baptist Church, and they're planning, it says here, another road trip soon.
Before, to Chicago?
It doesn't say where.
To Chicago.
So you need to reach out to Pastor Chad in Navasota, Texas, and I'll see if he can bring his barbecue church to Chicago.
Sounds like a great plan.
Making a difference.
That is a difference. Difference maker.
Culture Shock.
Well, if you want to reach us or contact us, you can do that through our Facebook group on the Shine.fm Facebook page. So you just have to go to Shine.fm Facebook page, and under the group tab, you can find the Kitchen Table group. And there, we just want to continue on the conversation. We want to hear music that you have, or average Joe Schmoes in your culture that you know.
Or share your barbecue recipes.
Or that I actually will not be opposed with.
I figured not.
If you even want to mail me barbecue, I will direct message you my address. Because that's amazing.
Mail especially barbecue if might not be good when it arrived.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you just want to continue on the conversation there, that would be awesome.
So thanks for spending some time with us this week. Again, check us out on the Facebook group there at the Kitchen Table. Have a wonderful week.
And stay salty and lit.
Thanks for listening to the Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm podcast network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.